The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to the Dark Side of the Pooch. I'm Tony Curry. You're listening to Tony Curry Radio Network. It's our podcast network. Of course, you're watching it right here on our YouTube channel, more than likely. That's Dr. Rab on the left-hand side of the screen. He is the man, the myth, the legend right there at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. He owns the joint. He moved out there. How long have you been out there? 6 years, 7 years?
Seven and a half.
Years,
eight, right? February.
I can't stinking believe it. Happy anniversary a little early. That's crazy. That's crazy, isn't it? Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, man. You know, like, I don't know. Like, it really puts things into perspective. Like, I'm relatively still young, you know, 41, but you start looking at what you've done, like what's in the rear view. And you think, you know, I've been out of school for 15 years about, and then we, you know, we opened this place, but it's like, man, I could be like a third of my career could be in my rear view.
Oh my gosh, dude. I feel you. And I'm going to tell you this because I love you and I'm your friend, but embrace it, love it, take it everything you can, because I don't remember my 40s. My 40s were just a blur. It went by so quick. I'm 58. And of course I went to a back specialist this morning. I'm going to have to go have back surgery. I just got my shoulder done. And I did that because, you know, 2/3 of my life is over, and, you know, God willing, because of my son and stuff, I hope I'm around another 40 years. I hope to make it to 100. But I'm like, you know, if I don't do it now, if I don't get surgery in my back now, I'm never going to get done. And I'm not getting surgery in my back when I'm 70. You know, but I mean, I don't know about you, but you see, you're still 41, but I've got a lot of friends that have already died. And some of them shouldn't have had. Some of them just, you know, weren't paying attention. But it puts things in perspective pretty doggone quick, man. It really does. Because my daughter's like, you know, when I'm 25 and I'm thinking, I'm going to be 71 years old. And I think, well, hell, Sammy Hagar can do it. Why can't I? You know what I mean? Hey, by the way,
Mick Jagger, buddy.
Did you see who announced today a new residency in Las Vegas? By the way, Sammy Hagar is starting a residency out in the Sphere. He's going to be out there late April, early May for like 18 shows or something like that. But guess who's starting a new residency? I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? Because when you think of residencies, you think of U2s and Led Zeppelins and Rolling Stones and the Scorpions.
No,
the Scorpions are coming out to celebrate their first that album, Beloved First Bite, the one with the girls on the thing. She's got the tattoo on her thigh, and she's got the bite, and she's biting a lip, and Rocking Like a Hurricane on it. That album is celebrating its 40th birthday, and so to celebrate that in that album, Winds of Change, Tease Me, Please Me, No One Like You. They have some good songs, but they're playing. They're doing a residency, Scorpions, and I'm thinking to myself, What kind of person would go to Vegas to see the Scorpions?
I mean, what's the venue? Where are they playing? Do you know?
It's at the MGM. It's a nice place. I mean, it's not where everyone plays.
I've been there,
but I mean, everyone's doing the venue stuff. And I mean, Celine Dion, Elton John, Rod Stewart, everyone's done it. I mean, it's cool. I'm getting to the point now where just think about if you lived out there, I wouldn't move out there just for concerts. If I was, you know, free flying and had no children and all the money in the world, it'd be worth to move out to Vegas just to stay out there and watch the concerts.
Man, Vegas would be a great place to live if, and I don't know anything about the industry, but if you're like one of these casino bigwigs or something, you know, like high up in management or something, and you're pulling a good salary and you can afford to live in that town.
Well, you know, Kip Keeper, my buddy who does the show with us, the starting lineup, his son is the chief editor for the Las Vegas Sun out there. He's about there for 8 years and he lives 4 miles from the strip, and
it'd be a great place to live.
Killing it, and his job is to write for the Las Vegas Sun, but his job is a professional gambler, and that's what he all day long. He looks at numbers. We do a show called K4 Wins that you can hear right here on Tony Curry Radio, and go to k4wins.com and you can check out our plays. We're hitting like 68% on the year. We're killing it. But yeah, that's what he does for a living. And he plays 20 or 30 ball games a day, and that's how he makes his money.
I've got a client who is her son is young, and his degree is in like hotel management or something, but he's an incredible poker player and he travels around, and when new casinos open, he goes to them and he plays poker and he takes all the suckers' money.
There you go.
That's what he does. She came in the office the other day and she was like, I was like, hey, you know, how's it going? How are the kids? And she showed me pictures of her son who's just, you know, tooling around Dubai right now.
Yeah.
Just, I'm like, goodness gracious.
Well, that World Series of Poker, just exploded about 10 years ago. And there's a lot of kids that you know, and it sounds like it's a dream, but we also got 18-year-olds that got 23 million followers who are making $1 million a year on the internet. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just a different life now. It's just a different world.
Hey, make it while you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it. Get after it. Great to have you on. Happy holidays. We're recording this show here the Monday of Thanksgiving. So I greatly appreciate you coming on and getting after it. We got a bunch of things to get into here as we get into our Horn of Plenty. 208-0301. If you need any boarding or anything else like that, or simply to go in and see Dr. Rab. I was going to tell you, my Rainer, I took him on a 7-mile hike yesterday. It wasn't really not a hike. It was out near River Chase. We just walked around this lake a bunch of times. And he's got something going on with his left paw. I was going to bring him in. He keeps licking it, but he's not limping on it anymore. But I don't know. He just keeps licking it and licking it to the point where you can see his toes and stuff. So I was more likely going to see you. But while I was there, there was a man walking two dogs, a husky and another terrier. The other terrier was not on a leash, but the husky was. And I know firsthand that when I used to have Frisco and Rainer, that they would fight. When they were together, they would fight anything that got near them. I don't know if they were alpha dogging each other or looking after each other, whatever. But whenever Ringer's alone, he doesn't fight anything. He's always wagging his tail. But it's got to be dog on dog. Now I see two dogs come up to me. I'm like, okay, here we go. So the dog without the leash come running right up to Rainer and got down there and put his paws down and started shaking his ass in the sky. And he was barking and stuff. And Rainer was like, what's going on here? And so they started sniffing each other and they were fine. And not 5 seconds later, man, it was all out blood. It was just going after each other's throat. Speaking of going after each other's throat, who do we have? Where we got a special guest here on the other show here?
There he is. Man, he looks bigger.
He's getting bigger.
Is he bigger?
He's got a little bigger. He got a little bigger.
Oh, what's he got? Is he eating? Did he just have a snack?
Yeah, it's a
oh, he's got it in his hand.
Yeah, yeah, look. If you're real quiet, you can hear it. Hold on. Sorry. Hold on. You could take him. Oh, I dropped on the floor. It's right there by my left foot. Yeah. Those are called vegetable rings.
Yeah, it looked like a little Cheerio.
Huh? Yeah, the little vegetable rings, and man, you're not supposed to give more than 4 a day, but they're super healthy for him. He loves them, the vegetable rings and raisins. Coolest pet, I'm telling you, man.
That's why he's big, because you instead of giving him 4 a day, you probably give him 30.
I probably do. He is the coolest thing. I want to get him out and play with him more, but I'm afraid he'll run and my dog will kill him. Anyway, so the dogs go after each other, and you know, I just had surgery on my right shoulder. So I dig in, I grab his dog by the collar, I grab my dog by the collar, and I pull him apart, and the one gets away from me. He bit my wrist. Didn't
the little one? Which one's causing the problem?
The terrier, his dog. Rain was just sitting there and he just went straight for him. And just after he sat there and barked a little bit, and then he just went after him and they started fighting, of course. And then Rainer started fighting him back. And so bit me and I pulled him apart, and the other guy's like, whoa, oh, hey, he's never done that before. I don't know what the heck's going on. Da, 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 da. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, man, whenever I had my two dogs, we always stayed away from one dog because they always got in fights. He goes, I've never seen my dog react like that. And he put him on a leash. And I was like, thank you. And, you know, I'm sitting there, I got blood on my wrist. I'm like, whatever. So let me ask you this. Well, dogs, first of all, what are they doing? Why are they doing it? I know there's two dogs, so I'm assuming one's trying to show off for the other, or they're trying to protect the other one. And so I could probably answer my question there. The other thing is, if I just let them go, what would happen?
Oh, so survival of the fittest. I mean,
would they fight to the death?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that your dog would do that. I don't know the other dog, but I feel pretty confident that Rainer would have eventually pinned him, and then the other one would have just given up, you know, and run off. Rainer would have let him up, but I don't, you know, Rainer's not a, he's not a killer. I think that he would have gotten the dog to submit and the dog would have run off.
Well, I would have loved to seen it because, you know, I'd love to see my dog in a cage match, but I wasn't going to see him get and but at the same time, I didn't even think about sticking my hand in the middle of it. I didn't.
No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't because then you'll have a problem. You'll get.
Yeah. Better. And I was like, I'm not going to watch these two because it was on. But I always thought to myself, should I just let him go? Because I talk about Merrill Pizitz from the Pizitz family used to live behind me. And he had three or four dogs, and he'd leave them in this room. And Freddy dog used to get away and used to go down there. And then Lizzie used to get away too. And whenever she'd run over his yard, he'd let her in his house, and he just put her in that room with those dogs. And it was like Fight Club.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Where's Lizzie?" He's like, "They're working it out. They're working it out." You could hear them, and you hear things falling off the walls and stuff like that. And then you'd open the door and they come out and they'd want to be licking its side and be bleeding. And he's like, "They're fine." And then they're all good. It's like,
did he have some interesting animals too? Or did he have a turtle or?
Or
was that his wife? Is that his wife?
No, I've never shared this story. But my son is here and he will stand by me on this thing. But we were in my backyard late evening, the trick of my eyes could have been playing with me, but when Santo said he saw the same thing, I was like, okay. I saw one of his helpers, it looked like a Latino man, with something on a leash that was walking on its back hindquarters, but then it would go down to its front and go back up again, much like maybe like a bear would.
You think it was a kangaroo?
It had a distinguished looking snout. It was brown, and there were three of them, and they were chained together. And I looked at Santo and I said, "Do you see what I'm seeing?" He goes, "Yeah." And I said, "What in the hell is that?" And he goes, "I have no idea." And whatever it was, it would go up on its, and it was about maybe the size of Rainer, about 50, 60 pounds, three of them. And they had chains between them. And I looked, and as soon as I said it, he took a left and walked back into the woods onto his land. And so when I saw him one time, I said, "Do you have any strange, weird animals?" And he's like, "Oh, I got foxes and rabbits and stuff like that. What do you mean?" I said, "Like anything you keep." He said, "No, I got my horses and my dogs." And I said, "Really?" I said, "I saw something here one night." And he's like, "You got to stop drinking." And I said, "Well, my son was with me and he saw the same thing. We talked about it. We know it. We saw something. It was either a bear or an anteater or something funky, something, two things got it on and they're living in his place." I'm just saying,
you know, Alabama has some very lax laws in the animals that you can possess.
Oh yeah. Speaking of, lax laws, you know, one of our sponsors here, Sasquatch Toys and Comics, 60s, 70s, 80s, they got the comics still in the wrappers. They got unopened Legos. They've got Star Wars stuff, all kinds of unbelievable Evel Knievel toys. You name it. They got it from the 60s, 70s and 80s. It's great. It's right down the Citation Court. Great for the holidays, for Christmas. Go down there. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have Seth on the starting lineup coming up in a couple of weeks on ABC 3340. But he has put Ed's Pet World, the business is still open, but he has put the building up for sale. We don't really know what that means. I don't know if someone's going to buy it and keep the business open. We hope they do because it's been around for 40 years. But you want to talk about exotic pets. They obviously have to abide by the law. I think that's one of the reasons why maybe, and I can't speak to this because it's his business, but it's become increasingly more difficult to own exotic pets. Not only here in Alabama, but also this country because of the anaconda issue we have down in Florida, because of our deer population, because of wild crocodile. I mean, people have gotten these exotic animals. Where is it in Maryland? Where the monkeys? What was the place where all the monkeys got free?
No, I remember what you're talking about, but I don't remember the place.
Just happened a couple of weeks ago.
I thought it was in Pennsylvania, but I could be wrong. I don't remember.
Hold on. Monkeys run free. Hold on. I'll find out what's going on here. Four monkeys remain free nearly 2 weeks after dozens escape South Carolina compound.
Oh, I was way off. You were closer than I was.
There were 43 that escaped that breeds them for medical research. Rhesus macaws, macaquas, macaquas, macaquabos.
Yeah, we talked about that. I remember we talked about this on the show, I think.
I can't believe they got 39 of them back.
Yeah.
I mean, if you let a monkey go in the woods, I mean, they trap them and stuff. And obviously they're research monkeys, so they probably know what they like to eat and stuff like that. But I mean, to me,
monkeys can be tough. They're tough.
Yeah. Like, I mean, unless they
tough
know
to capture and they know how to get you.
Yeah. What would you do if you're sitting in your car at work and you're, you know, about ready to call the wife and tell her you're on the way home and a monkey comes running across your parking lot, what would you do with it? I mean, if it came up to you and it seemed to be domesticated, in what case, what would you, I mean, what would you do with it?
I would crank the truck and go home. I would not engage the monkey.
You would not engage the monkey at all?
I would not engage the monkey. I am very risk averse.
Lila says she wants the monkey. I've seen the movie Outbreak. Oh, dude!
I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to be the person that causes humanity. Hold on, spiral.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of a show. What you got?
Tell them about the close call I had.
Oh, I will. Yeah, my son and I went for a walk and hit a close call. I almost got hit by a tree truck.
What?
Yeah, a tree truck was coming down the street and they almost went head to head. You know, he's a train, so he thinks that him and a tree truck will actually, you know, he thinks he can pin it down, but I'm like, not so much. So I saw that movie too. A lot of people said it was one of the worst movies. I thought it was one of the best movies. I love that movie. I thought Rene Russo was killer in it, and they had some big stars in it, Morgan Freeman and Dustin Hoffman and stuff. Yeah. But the scene where the kid's getting off the airplane and he looks like he looks like hell and they're kissing and he's got secretions coming. I'm like, dude, I don't care how long it's been since I've seen somebody. If my girlfriend got off a plane and looked like that, I'd go, hey, let's go take a shower first before we start this relationship again. Cause that dude,
eyes
were bleeding and stuff. Yeah.
Nothing good is going to come from me chasing a monkey around a parking lot after hours.
Yeah. But I also don't, but
that can be a euphemism as well.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it would be interesting to know where it came from. I mean, it could be one of these South Carolina monkeys. It's been a couple of weeks. They could probably travel. I don't know.
Been monkeying around.
Let me ask you this. What do you think would be easier to live in the wild, a monkey or a cat?
I think a cat. Whatever's born in the wilderness is going to have the advantage. So if the cat is born a feral wild cat, then I put it up against a monkey that has been in a enclosure, you know, in a zoo or in a research facility. Yeah. I give the edge to the wild cat. But whatever, like if it's a house cat versus a monkey that was, you know, born in the wild, then I give the edge to the monkey.
Okay.
All things being equal.
Yeah.
All things being equal, either you have captive versus captive or wild versus wild. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go monkey.
Can you own a monkey in the state of Alabama?
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah. You have to have permit, but you can have one.
You have a very monkey Christmas. That's a curious George Christmas. Thank you very much. Monkey Christmas. All right. 208-0301, 208-0301, Rossbridge Animal Hospital. He is Dr. Rab Stewart. We do the show called Dark Side of Pooch every single week. And of course, I got some emails I want to get into. info@ TonyCurryRadio.net. And we'll get into those in just a few minutes. What's been going on at your pad? Anything interesting going on? We got Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. We had some
good stories. Yeah, I want to hear
some wild happened today.
Okay, good.
We're still not even exactly sure what's going on. But a dog had a foreign body that it ate, you know, ingested, and it
foreign
was
a foreign body.
That's what we call it. It swallowed something that it can't pass, swallowed something that it could not pass. And it created, it's what's called a linear foreign body. So, things that are like, string is something, if it's real heavy, anything thin and malleable, basically, you know, linear foreign body. So those things will get trapped in the stomach. They'll get wadded up and trapped in the stomach, but then the end of it just will continue to go through the intestines. Okay. Cause the body's trying to get rid of it.
Sure.
But so if you have something that is stationary in the stomach and it has a free end that's being passed out of the stomach, well, what ends up happening is instead of it releasing from the stomach and going out, it stays in the stomach. And when it stretches all the way, it can stretch. Well, then the intestines start to bunch up on it. Oh, so then you get all the intestines kind of placated together.
Oh, wow.
And that cuts off blood supply, which is very dangerous. And if it's not resolved fairly quickly, then intestines will be compromised. And they'll start leaking GI fluid into the abdomen, which creates a really bad infection. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we had a dog come in this morning and it had surgery for this exact thing that I'm talking about a week ago.
Yeah.
But after you do the surgery, it's the body's job to take over, and it's got to heal. You know, the intestines have to heal, the incisions have to heal. Well, so this dog came in, and its incision on its stomach, not on its interior, but on its skin, the incision on its skin had come open a little bit, which happens a lot in animals because they don't know to take it easy, or they're going to lick or scratch or whatever. Yeah. So we thought that it was just, you know, an exterior wound. We'll sedate the dog. We'll close it back up. It'll be fine. Sometimes it's just the tip of the iceberg that you're seeing. And so you get the dog under anesthesia, you open up the incision. Your plan is to kind of clean it up and reclose it. But there were holes in the abdomen that we could see, you know, none of the incisions had closed well. And again, wow. this could be the dog's fault. And so you have to open the next layer, you know, and then you open the next layer until you're in the abdomen. Yeah. And then there was just massive, like, fibrous scar tissue. So my working theory is that the initial incision that was made at the ER, it just didn't heal right.
Yeah.
And so now it's leaking fluid out of the intestines, and it's wow. preventing the skin incision from healing. So we open up this dog this morning and we see this, and I mean, it's a train wreck. It's like dismantling a bomb mm-hmm. because you have to get the dead, you know, necrotic fibrous tissue out of there while preserving the GI tract. And this was just a super hairy situation. So we ended up calling, you know, we do surgery here, but sometimes, you know, it's even over what we can do.
Is that something you'd be comfortable doing, that surgical procedure?
Well, yes and no. So I think to give the dog the best shot, we called a specialist, someone who just does surgeries here in town, mm-hmm. board certified surgeon, a veterinary surgeon, of course. And we told him the situation, and we said, hey, look, do you guys have an opening to take care of this today? And they said, yeah, we can, you know, sew it up and send it over. So I called the owner and I said, look, this is much, much more than what we expected we would find. So we can either, you know, continue to blaze a trail mm-hmm. and see what we can do here, or I can send you to a specialist. And I think that your best chance is to go there. Now, it's going to come with a very big price tag.
Yeah,
and probably a very long hospital stay. But if you can stomach that, no pun intended, then that's in your dog's, you know, that's what we need to do, you know.
Yeah.
So they were cool with it. We sewed the dog up, and before it was really awake from the surgery, they were off and going to the specialist. So
wow.
Yeah.
What is something, because everyone's going to ask me a question, what is something like that run?
So the quote that they gave me for a week in the hospital and having the surgery done was between 8,000 and 12,000.
Yeah. I was going to say 10. So yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, it's yeah. family pet. I mean, it's, you know, it's worth it. And obviously when you saw what you had, what would be the prognosis of a situation like that? Pretty relatively good, as long as, I mean, you got a specialist on it.
Well, and I spoke with, when I was on the phone, I was speaking to not the surgeon, but an ER vet, mm-hmm. you know, so someone that she's not doing the surgery, but she takes care of the, you know, the medical aspect of it. She said probably a coin flip.
Really? See, and yeah. that's the thing that, that's the thing that really surprised me about a Frisco dog, because I'd never been, that's the first time in my whole life that I've been in a situation where I was going to have to invest a lot of money into an animal that I wasn't quite sure if it was going to make it. And I just felt like I thought animals were like humans, where it was like, there was an answer for everything, and that, you know, okay, we find out what's wrong with it and we fix it and we're done. And it's just not like that with animals. It's just not. I mean,
I don't think it's like that with people either.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? I mean, people can be pushed pretty far before, I mean, you can put a person in a coma if you have to, you know, it's just, that's really, speaking of which,
well, okay. Let me answer your question.
Yeah.
All right. So with what was going on in this dog, if you had, if it were you, mm-hmm. the day after the surgery, you would have had maybe not severe abdominal pain, but you would have had an inkling that something was not right. the day after surgery. Well, this dog's a week out. Okay. A week after surgery. And the dog is, yeah, it's eating a little bit less. Its energy level is a little bit lower, but the owner has no indication until there's so much leaking on the interior that the exterior incision on the skin is opening up.
Wow. And he had no idea.
So it would never, you would never let it get to that point. You know, a human would never let it get to that point. You would wake up and be like, man, I don't feel right. I think I need to go to the ER. I just had surgery yesterday. I need to get this sorted out. Yeah. Well, they would have found it within 12 hours.
Yeah.
It's a week later and we're just not finding this. And that's why, like, this has been going on for so long. So much gets wrecked in that's that time period. And that's why the prognosis is not good, because the dog the day after surgery can't be like, hey mom, I don't feel good.
Yeah.
Like something's not right. Let's go.
How old is this dog?
Man, I don't remember, but I think it was maybe three or four years old.
You know, it's amazing to me. It seems like too, is for a human, you find it, you kill it and you move on with an animal, not kill it. You know what I mean? Get rid of the disease or whatever, fix it. With an animal, it seems like there are so many different intangibles or what's the word I'm looking for?
Variables
are things it could turn into, like something incredibly small can just turn into an absolute firehouse in the course of a couple of days if it's not treated correctly.
I'm telling you, like, what, there was nothing. This thing was so far down the line that we were having a hard time with our anatomy.
Yeah.
Is that part of the stomach, or is that the body wall? Or, I mean, and when it's that far gone,
yeah,
I mean, it looked like it looked like one of the aliens was going to pop out of this dog's stomach.
Really?
I mean, that's what it looked like in there.
That's crazy. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We got some emails. 208-0301. Rossbridge Vet, of course, on Facebook. You can also check it out. Rossbridge Vet. It's .com, right? .com. I should know this by now.
RossbridgeVet.com.
Just Google Rossbridge Animal Hospital.
You're undergoing an update, which we talked last time, but currently under construction, but still working.
All right, great. Couple of questions here. Got an email here from Janice in Northport. She wants to know why some dogs have curly tails and some dogs don't.
Oh, it's just anatomy and stuff that they're like born with. Like anything that has pug in it or chow or Akita, you know, stuff like that, they're going to have a curled tail.
Huskies get curled tails. Yeah.
Sometimes some huskies can have it, but huskies are kind of in that same vein as chows and Akitas. They're in that kind of, you know, they're not the same breed, but they're kind of in the same family. Mm-hmm. So yeah, anything that's related to those dogs or has some of that in them, then you're going to have a curled tail. It's just genetics, just the breed.
Okay. I normally don't like dogs with curled tails, cause I don't like to see their butthole. But just don't.
Well,
I
mean,
it's just
they not want you to see it. They want you to see it.
It's just not something. I mean, it's just not something I need to see. And particularly a female who obviously people don't. Well, they realize that, you know, if you don't have your female fixed, they're going to go through heat, and they can get kind of messy, and you know, you can get stuff all over the place.
So you are not a Kramer. You're not a Kramer from Seinfeld. Remember
no,
that episode?
No, I'm not. Yeah. This is from Billy in Birmingham. He wants to know, we just talked about this. Can dogs be in a coma or can they be in a coma or can they be unconscious?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you mentioned we can put people in comas. Mm-hmm. Well, for dogs that are having uncontrollable seizures, we will put them basically in a coma with anesthesia. To try to reset their central neurological system. So uncontrollable seizure after seizure, we knock them out. And
what does a dog do when it has a seizure? Rex, same way.
If they have a full blown seizure, like the kind that you would envision a seizure being, they lay on their side and they get rigid. They kind of foam at the mouth, or they do a lot of kind of chewing or biting. It's, you know, kind of what you would imagine a seizure would look like based on what you've seen with people.
Yeah. Animals. Do animals have seizures the same reasons that humans have seizures?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have seizures if their blood glucose gets too low.
Can they be affected by light? Strobe light?
Yeah, they can be affected by lots of different stimuli. You know, some we have a dog that only has seizures when it comes into this building.
Really?
And I've known dogs that only have seizures when they go to the groomer.
That's
they can't go to any groomer because every time they go in a grooming facility it has a seizure. So they have a groomer that comes to the house.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's,
but that's... toxicities, low blood sugar, brain tumors, epilepsy.
Yeah.
All that stuff causes seizures.
And there's medication for that, I'm assuming.
Yes.
There you go. Yep. Final thing. It's really not a question. It's more of a thank you, but, I went to, my neighborhood Publix, a couple nights ago, left Rainer dog in the bathroom for 9 hours on Saturday. I felt horrible. I was supposed to come back in between two meetings. I just got caught up, so I couldn't do it. So I knew he was going to make a mess, and he did. He peed. I feel horrible about it. So I went and bought him a nice bone. It was about that big. It was one of those ones that's wrapped in plastic. You know, they got the they look like little round, like almost pig's feet things. And then they had the big, so I got him the bone. And it had the meat stuffed in the end of it. It looked, you know, it was natural. And I forget, it was like Pete's bones, something or other. I don't know. And then, of course, they had the ones that were like the size of like Fred Flintstone, like you were talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
So I gave it to him. And of course, he wanted nothing to do with it. And so I just left it in the middle of the kitchen floor. And then last night, he was laying on his armoire, and Lila took the bone and she just laid it there by his nose. And I woke up hearing him just destroying this bone. I mean, he loves it. I mean, he absolutely loves it. He's in it behind the couch, but he goes back and gets it. And I mean, but he's eating it. I mean, he's going to eat the entire bone, and I'm assuming that's okay. I mean, he's cutting it up into little pieces, and then he's going to eat the entire bone. Is that okay?
Bones are digestible as long as they don't get all tangled up with each other or tangled up with something else he's eaten, like cloth or something. As long as he's not basically filling up his stomach with that, it'd be fine.
Okay, because for a dog like a breeder, it's like having a child with ADD. You just want him to chill out. You know, you want to put him in front of a computer for like a half an hour, just chill out. You know, find a happy place. And I wanted to give him something that he could be in a happy place because he's constantly getting up and looking around and snooping around and trying to gauge the room and everything else. So I'm like, dude, just chill out, because he's always looking for something to chase. This bone has chilled him out. He sat there for an hour and a half last night chewing that bone. He couldn't have been happier. It was great.
What do you think it was? He wanted it to come from Lila?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't, you know, I mean, I know it's.
He refuses your gift. He wants it to come from somewhere else.
The bones are natural. It's not something you want to leave lying around the house, because I mean, it'll destroy a carpet. I mean, they're kind of nasty. I don't really care, but he loves it. And it's heavy enough that he has a kind of hard time picking it up, but he puts his two paws on it, man. He just gets after it and
it's a workout, man.
Yeah. And I think it's probably good for his teeth.
It's not, if he breaks his teeth, it's not good for him, but we established that you gotta give the dog a bone every now and then, make it feel good.
Giving the dog a bone. Maybe I'll play some AC/DC, giving the dog a bone before we go. All right, man. Tell people how they can find, yeah, really, rock you like a hurricane. Where can people find you?
You can call us 208-0301. You can see our recently refreshed and currently refreshing website, Rossbridge, nice. RossbridgeVet.com, or you can find us on Facebook.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm grateful and blessed to have you in my life. I appreciate you.
Right back at you, boss.
Talk to you soon, man.
All right, buddy.
See you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.